designed for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Drew, how often do I bring a camera crew into this studio? How often do I do
maybe
it?
Once a year, maybe.
Maybe. Say less than once a year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Reasonably.
What do you do? Three times a week, you whore? Very distracting.
Some months.
Vanessa Carlton is our guest tonight.
Hooray.
Debut album is called Be Not Nobody, and it is it's a big deal, judging by all the guys standing outside.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're waiting for me.
Started playing the piano when you were two?
Yeah, I was closer to three. People, every time the story's told, I become a fetus.
Right.
I'm like,
zygote playing the piano in utero.
But yeah, I started playing when I was really young because my mom is a pianist and there's pianos in her house everywhere.
By playing, you took your fists and went...
I was just banging and eating dirt.
Took lessons when she was 12.
Just became this legendary story.
Well, how old are you now?
22.
All right, it's 20 years, almost.
Yeah.
You should be good.
I should be.
I think you are.
I hope so.
Yeah,
I'm fooling everyone.
We're going to play something from the CD and give you tour dates and all that good stuff. But Vanessa's drew quite a crowd, has quite a following out there. Because normally we don't get too many people waiting outside, but there were, 15, 20 guys out there?
Yeah.
True?
Yeah. They were getting here, like, early, too.
Yeah.
And they all have strange things that they want me to sign, too.
Yeah. You know, here's. I think those things that they want to sign fall into two categories. They're either selling them on the internet.
Yeah, a lot of it.
Or beating off to them. So that's why I wouldn't sign.
Thank
one
you.
Or the other.
Well, I'm saying probably selling them on the internet.
Yeah. Well,
probably.
No, I would say it probably falls into those two categories.
It's
well.
One or the other.
Definitely.
Or both.
Yeah.
Do that, then they sell.
Or both. Ew.
Yeah, they get the headshot, and then they use the erasers to take out the eyes.
They do. It's not good.
Yeah, they're a lovely breed out there, and they're all alone with nothing but their car radios in my car and their keys.
What's wrong with your car?
Nothing's wrong with my car. We have no parking here anymore.
Oh.
We have the facility. And if you would have asked me 9 months ago if I thought Westwood One could get any worse as a facility, I would have thought long and hard and said no, the equipment couldn't get any worse, the facilities, no, the architecture, no, a vending machine, has coffee,
there's nothing.
The only thing in this whole goddamn dump worth of piss are the two seats we're sitting on, and that has nothing to do with Westwood One. We got those, all right? But you know what? They slid in one. They got rid of the parking lot. They did the only thing they couldn't F up in this entire building, and they were diabolical. They took away the parking. It's amazing. What are they going to do next? Just have it hail over the building constantly?
Upset.
Oh, I can't stand this place.
I feel bad for you.
Oh, that's all right, Vanessa. We're going to have a good time. Believe you me. Are you ready to go
I'm
here,
sure
Drew?
We're
ready to go.
All right. Let's talk to Katie, who's 30. Katie?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hi.
Good. All hail to Drew's parking lot nightmare story.
No, it's Adams.
Oh, it was Adams. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Totally.
Drew's miserable, too, though. Don't get him wrong.
Of course. Well, I'm really glad there's a woman on because my question revolves around the idea of swinging.
Mm-hmm.
With a husband or boyfriend or what?
Boyfriend.
Okay.
I currently have a boyfriend and started kind of the idea of swinging, and he introduced me to a club, and so we're members of a club where we swing. And this is really against all my religious beliefs and all of those hang-ups that I have with that. But
you know what? It has nothing to do with hang-ups or religion.
Okay.
You get engaged in those sorts of activities, your relationship will end. Period. If you like that relationship, it ain't going to survive this.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, unless you're both really screwed
unless
up.
Unless you're both sex addicts and you're both going to act out like this and you sort of have an agreement. It's not really a relationship. It's sort of an agreement to go out together.
It's two really effed up people shacking up and sort of living out their own neuroses each other.
Okay.
It's not an agreement.
That works once in a while.
Yeah. No,
yeah.
That's an agreement more than a relationship.
Are you guys into threesomes? And then you went into swinging?
Well, no, we've done the threesome thing. What it started out to be was that the sex wasn't that great. I mean, we had a little bit of a hard time at the beginning. And then as we went on, I mean, we found that we had this, you know, common need to, like, I would go through the Playboy with him. Or, you know, we would watch porn, and it was really hot. And that really helped in the bedroom and the sex life thing. Mm-hmm. And then I found out that I had some fetishes, and I also have, I mean, I really think that I have a sexual addiction. It was something that my father had as well.
So you were exposed to a lot of sexual material at a young age?
No, not at all. It was quite the reverse.
Were you sexually
like
abused?
No, not that I know of. No.
What was your dad's sexual addiction?
Well, the fact that it made him extremely uncomfortable, even if there was any nudity on a movie or anything like that, he got very uncomfortable. And I found out later...
This guy's out of control.
No, listen.
He should be arrested.
Well, no, that's how he had to curb his appetite for the sexual drive that he had, was because anything like that would just set him off. And evidently my parents have been having sex almost... Well... up until like a few years ago when he had a head injury, got on Prozac, my mother mentioned how nice it was only to have sex 3 or 4 times a week.
Yeah, well...
And they've been married for 35 years.
That would be considered a healthy sexual appetite. There's nothing about any of this that implies sexual addiction.
And your contention is if he saw a little bare shoulder in a movie, he'd just have to rape the person next to him?
Right.
Well, they...
no matter who it was.
Nonsense.
Listen. No, not like that. But the compulsion was there that was very strong. And then
that's
all
right.
The way through their married life, they had to... I mean, he had to have sex daily.
That's fine. That's fine. That's healthy.
Okay.
Well,
cool.
It's not sexual addiction.
It's fine.
Okay.
They're in love. They're together.
It's a nice marriage.
That's his biology. That's all. A sexual addiction is when there's progressively increasingly risky and arousing behaviors in the face of adverse consequence.
Like
what you're doing.
What I'm doing.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Now, are you been addicted to anything else?
No, but I did have I had a head injury a few years ago, which has brought on narcolepsy, which is also something my father has as well. So I take Ritalin for that.
Well, hold on a second.
Right, so she's a piece of work.
Wow.
Yeah, but what's going on with her dad had a head injury, and he got on Prozac.
Now,
then she had a head injury. I mean, it's sort of like that cliche, you know, like if your best friend jumped off a bridge, would you? But yeah, evidently yes.
She would.
Katie.
Yeah.
You really, you sure you're not your dad? Check for a penis. No?
There is.
My father actually hit a deer on his motorcycle and almost didn't survive.
And what did you do?
Hit a deer in a motorcycle.
No. I actually had a skiing accident. I was up skiing in the mountains and hit a patch of ice and flipped up and landed on my head. So as a result, I've had, you know, the EEGs and the EKGs. I'm actually a speech and language pathologist, so I'm familiar with.
Well, what's the nature of your injury then?
The nature, like the region that it was affected?
Yeah.
It's parietal mostly.
So you had a parietal contusion?
Well, the concussion was that.
You had a concussion that had a residual parietal deficit associated with it.
Yes. And then with that came a temporal... Are you there?
Yeah.
Sorry. With that came the temporal problems as well, anomia, word-finding problems, that sort of thing.
All right. Well, they're
doing all right.
The
fatigue,
stuff when people get... that's fine. So the mood disturbances and all.
Right.
And I guess you could have a slightly increased risk of bipolarity, but the kind of sexual impulsivities and things you're alluding to occur in frontal and prefrontal injuries, which you didn't have. So it has nothing to do with your head.
All right. But listen, Katie.
Yes.
So here's the bottom line. If the relationship is important to you and you want to keep it intact, you'll stop the swing.
Yeah, you also stop, you're rationalizing in areas you know have no knowledge. You're way, way up in the cognitive area and not really connected with the emotional life. Your emotional life is sort of completely empty.
Well, it seems you said that you started out when you and your boyfriend were alone together.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't so good.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't so into it. So what, do you like him? Or maybe it's just that you're...
At first, I wasn't that interested. I just ended a marriage, so he was kind of supposed to be a rebound, and turned out to be a really great guy, and we really have a lot in common and do a lot together, which is really nice.
Well, what do the people look like in the swingers? I always picture the sun-blasted women who wear a lot of gold and guys who are sort of huge guts but big arms, too, and they're walking around with a lot of gold, too. But is there a lot of gold there?
I think it, no. Not that
ice.
There's a lot of skin. That's all I know.
Yeah. Is it groups of people all naked at once?
What is that like? Is that like a sex club?
Right.
Yeah, that's what she's talking about.
Right. Yeah, it's been converted, and it has a dance floor, and it has different rooms. Yeah. And you can go to the different rooms, and you can have sex in any room but the TV room.
Yeah.
Because there has to be a base or
something.
God forbid.
Safe place. Sex in front of the TV.
But I don't want to goof up that big screen either.
I think what's really hard for me is to think about the idea that I might be doing this to myself because I don't like myself very much.
All right. We get all that. Katie, here's the deal. If you really want to change this whole situation, you need some therapy.
You're
thinking and you're spinning in areas where you have no knowledge, and you're not even going near the real material. Nowhere near it. You're going to end up looking for solutions and God knows what. So go ahead and get an evaluation by a therapist.
You know, the thing that just struck me is that dumb people never really get therapy. Because they don't think it's going to work. It doesn't work on them. They wouldn't go and do it. It'd be like a dog going to a therapist. You know, they wouldn't think to do it. But then sometimes really smart people get so up in their head that they sort of outmaneuver any therapy. They figure it all out, so they don't need to go.
Right.
Best to be not dumb, not stupid, but right in between, like Drew. Mm. A little on the stupid side. Really get the full benefits of therapy. Yes, Drew?
Full benefits.
Amy?
Hi.
I like it when you repeat the last couple words of my sentence.
Full benefits.
Yeah. You're 20, or yeah, 20.
Yeah.
What's up?
I think I have a question for Dr. Drew, but I love you too, Adam. The question's kind of silly. The question is, I'm just wondering.
Turn your radio off.
Turn your radio down, you idiot. Loud.
My question, it's kind of a silly one.
She did it right away.
But, I'm wondering if a person has sex with two people, like you have sex with one guy, he's a white guy, maybe you have sex the second time with a black or African-American guy, and if there's like twins and triplets in my family, could I ever have twins that, like one is white, one is black? Could that ever happen?
Could you be like a cat?
Same.
Like a cat? Could you have
that
two?
That was my question. Yeah. I took my cats in, and they told me that they have different fathers.
That's what I love about our listeners. You know, something happens to a cat.
Two different.
In other words, if you have two guys the same night.
But something happens to Bugs Bunny or Woody Woodpecker, they start thinking about, if you got hit with a frying pan, does your head take on the shape of the frying pan?
It's an interesting idea. I've never heard of that happening.
No.
Well,
it's not going to happen.
I think it may be more to do with that guy's sperm don't mix together well.
They don't mix? Okay.
But I guess it's a theoretical possibility.
The black and the white sperm. You ever seen what goes on in prison? White Aryan, Brotherhood, Crips, same kind of thing inside the vagina.
It's a possibility. See, her question is if she released two eggs, could one of the sperm that makes it up there be from one guy and the other sperm that makes it up from the other guy?
Well, in what time period do you think they would have to have sex to make this feasible?
Three days.
A couple days?
3 days, yeah.
3 days.
3 days.
Amy?
Yeah?
3 days?
She said same night.
Oh, same night.
Yeah.
Same night?
You did this the same night?
Same night.
Wow. How did this work out? How did this come to be?
I was really drunk.
Right.
I was drinking a lot, and there were, like, two of my good friends, and it was an accident, so.
Mm-hmm. So you just started with one guy, and now did they know about each other?
An accident.
They knew about each other, yeah. They're really good friends.
They knew that they existed. Did they know that they both had slept with you the same night, though?
I think now they know.
Tonight they know.
Did they
know? Tonight they know, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. They're so dumb.
That they know about each other. Yeah, they were good friends.
School.
Yeah.
Okay, so they know it, or they at least know it now.
Yeah.
Yes.
And no protection with either guy.
I'm on the pill.
Oh, you are?
All right, so you're fine.
I'm on the pill, but...
All right, relax. Relax.
Don't take it exactly, you know.
Did these two guys get your cat, too? Like on the way out, I'll do that sometimes. Take an animal.
Bestiality?
No,
just a little.
Like
little forget-me-not, little leave behind, we call it in the business.
No, nothing with that. I was just curious because, you know, it could happen to the cats, and I was just wondering if it could happen, you know, to humans.
No. Or maybe, yes, but
possibly.
It doesn't. It
essentially never happens.
It doesn't.
Okay. All right.
It'd be great, though.
That's funny.
Great sitcom. The black, it's... Soul Brothers.
That's it. That's the name of the sitcom.
Okay, so one guy's like a red-haired guy who looks like
freckles.
Carrot Top.
Freckles.
Carrot
he looks
top.
Like Carrot Top. Looks like Johnny Whitaker.
Oh,
he looks like the kid from Family Affair.
Huh.
Red-haired kid. And the other kid is just looks like Denzel Washington or something. No, no. He looks like one of the guys like Coolidge from The White Shadow. It's like a big, a huge afro black man, you know. He looks like maybe Charles Barkley or something. And they're brothers, and no one believes them, and they keep thinking someone's adopted, and they're not.
My mom was a hoe. You're just a big hoe.
Yeah. All right.
Oh.
Let's hear a song.
Yeah.
How about that?
My song?
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, Adam has one.
You want to hear the?
I want to hear yours.
You want to hear the theme to Soul Brother? If it works
I
out.
I seriously have no idea what you're talking about.
If it works out, you can do the theme to Soul Brother.
Listen, I've been asked to do, you know, TV songs.
Well, let me say this. Money can be made.
That will be my first choice.
You get the
Soul Brothers.
You get the theme to a show that's on every night, like The Tonight Show or something like that.
Is that right?
You're done.
Really?
Well, think about it. They're playing your song every single night.
I'm not going to do it, man.
Yeah, but no one ever knows who does it. I don't know who it is. It's not like you're selling out. It's like doing a commercial in Japan.
I'll guess on the show, though.
Oh, and Soul Brother?
And Meet the Bros, yeah.
Yeah, they both take a shining to you.
She could be the mom as a young woman.
What's that?
The mom as a young woman.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
No, she's no ho.
No young ho.
But how it went bad. You know, when they do this back in time.
Flow, flashback. You play young mom.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Okay. Vanessa Carlton is our guest tonight. Be Not Nobody is the name of the CD, and this one's called Pretty Baby.
Stumbling on
Yes. That is why Rolling Stone named her one of the top 10 artists to watch in 2002. They don't need the to watch part, do they? It's top 10 artists 2002, or is to watch mean sort of up and comer?
Will be the top 10, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's got to be nice, right?
Yeah, it's nice. But, yeah. I mean, it was interesting. That was like the first bit of press that I got. I was still recording my record when they did that.
And were they just seeing you play around? Or, I mean,
yeah, they knew,
did you release some stuff?
No, they're familiar with what I was doing in the studio and stuff. And I had a song called 1,000 Miles that was already out. But I don't know. I don't buy too much of my own press. It kind of can fluctuate.
Yeah.
So, but it was nice. It's a nice little pat on the back. It's a nice start.
I'm the same way. You know, when you get -4 stars consistently.
Yeah, it just blows.
And you're called, what was I called? No showmanship and a Neanderthal and stuff like that. Yeah, it's important not to listen to your own press.
That.
Oh, wait. Oh.
Just wait.
I see you get good press and you don't listen. That's,
well, yeah.
That's not smart.
I just kind of don't pay too much attention, but it's good.
All right. Let's, one more call before we go to break?
It's time.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to tease it?
Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah, let's do that. Let's, Joe?
Hello?
You're 18?
Yep.
You want a threesome?
Mm-hmm.
You want to know how you can ask your girlfriend?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yes, sir.
You sure?
You're virgin.
Yeah.
You're a virgin.
Have you ever had
you're
sex?
You're not 18.
No.
No, we never had.
No. You've never been laid.
I'm almost a virgin.
Yeah. You've never been laid.
Yeah. You can hear
Joe,
it in
you
your
can't,
voice.
You can't pass our acid test.
Sorry, buddy. We don't buy it. Hey, wind that beanie up and take off. Which, you kidding me? Listen, you little snot-nosed pukes. Don't try to call this show and pass yourselves off as seasoned sexual veterans.
I want to have a threesome.
I can tell when a guy's a virgin. I can hear it in his voice. And I talk to 13-year-olds who I know are seasoned sexually. But this guy's 18.
He's not even 18.
He wants a threesome. No, he's not.
Maybe you know, I'd like, 14.
I'd like to take that Adam's apple, his, and go with it and wind his beanie up and send him flying into the next county. He wants a threesome. He's not even having twosomes. Vanessa Carlton is our guest tonight. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Vanessa Carlton is our guest tonight. She's a delight, this Vanessa, I must say.
She just put me on with Stephen Jenkins on the phone.
Oh, Third Eye Blind?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
And he said, I love her.
Yeah.
She's hot.
He's a passionate man.
Yeah.
So are you, Adam. I felt your passion from the moment you walked in the door.
Yeah, that's it. Well, let him show you what he's known for, though.
Oh, no.
You may feel his passion, but he excels in one area.
What?
Well, I'm trying to think of how to explain it. I claim that my form for receiving oral sex is unsurpassed by any other man.
Yeah,
not that I receive the most, but that my form cannot be beat.
Your form?
Watch. Yeah, he'll give an example right now.
Give an example. Here. And I'm not showing off.
Artist at work. Ready? And
it's amazing.
Well,
see the way I held
still? But what makes that so good? Sorry.
Oh my God.
Go over here. I'm shocked.
Hold on. Let me talk to you.
Is it like, well.
This one is nervy.
I'm shocked.
She comes barging into our studio and attacks my form.
Oh my God.
You look comfortable.
She needs to develop a sort of appreciation.
She's still wet by the ears.
She's so young.
She may be high.
Oh, come on.
She's high. Very young.
You know what? Don't talk like I'm not here.
What?
What?
What are you talking about?
I'm just saying, I don't know why. Well, it doesn't seem that convenient. I mean.
You see, I was holding still.
And kind of looking up.
Thank you. Hey, Drew. Yeah. Seriously, thanks. Yeah. Thanks.
I got you back.
Oh, cool.
You know what?
So, next call.
Another chicken here.
Where's Hey, tell Steven next time you talk to him to come on here.
He said he's finishing his new album. He says he's going to come down here. Says he's done.
Yeah, he'll come down and talk about his penis, I'm sure.
We had a last time he was here, a year ago, maybe a little more.
A little movie.
Went out, had a drink afterward, had a nice time. All right, so let's go talk to Landon.
Mm-hmm.
Landon, you're 15?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, Dr. Drew, man. You're the man.
Thank you, Landon. What's up?
Vanessa, how did you get your start in the music business?
Oh. I thought you were going to ask about threesomes or something. I was all ready for that question.
He's 15.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. I actually started. I'm sorry. I got started when I was about 16 or 17. Mm-hmm. I was actually at ballet school, and then I started writing songs, and started waitressing, and started playing open mics and gigs, and getting yelled at to get off stage by drunk dudes at bars. And
wow,
you just kind of stick
good
with
times.
It.
This
yeah.
is in New York.
Rough times, man. Yeah, I was in New York, and I was just. I was the first time I'd ever written songs with lyrics, so it was really developing as a songwriter, too, and it was hard. It was a long process to get a recording contract.
You played the piano your whole life.
Yeah.
Did you have a direction, like a specific direction? Like when you were 13, did you say,
no,
I'm going to be playing in the Philharmonic one day, or I'm going to be composing? Or?
Yeah, when I was 13, I really identified myself as a ballerina.
Yeah,
it was like,
ballet.
That was it for me.
Here she says the ballet.
And then, not belly dancing, ballet. A lot of men.
The ballet.
Did you start ballet dancing at the same time you started playing the piano?
I started ballet dancing after I started playing. Playing was, I was a fetus, supposedly, when I started playing piano.
Right.
So,
establish that.
I got into a really prestigious academy in New York called the School of American Ballet, and it's really hard to get into the school, so that became my life, and I was like, I danced hours every day, and then I just stopped.
I started
skipping my ballet classes.
Wow, you just lost the passion.
Yeah, I started getting really frustrated.
Yeah.
What was that?
Well, I wasn't getting along with my teachers, and, all that good stuff, and it was really, it's kind of training for the Olympics, and it's like kind of bailing out the night before the Olympic trials. That's how I kind of compare it, and it was really hard. So I started skipping my classes, and then I became known as like kind of a problem student.
Huh.
She's not really dedicated, and in place of going to ballet classes, there was like this old broken down piano in the dorm that I was staying at, and I would just sit and play, and then I'd start skipping school too, which you should never do.
Well, you're going to get a contract and stuff.
Well, it's not all that easy, but so it was an interesting start.
Hmm.
Yeah, it seems to me that if you're doing dancing and you're doing it seriously, it sort of becomes like gymnastics or ice skating or
totally.
Something.
I think it's even more intense. Yeah. I mean,
that's weird. Like we sort of come down on these moms who put their kids in the beauty pageants or put their kids into acting. They have them going out on auditions and all the tutors on the set and everything. But serious dancing, it's about the same commitment. Isn't
yeah.
it? I mean, it's full of, like, eating disorders and crazy moms
and
stuff,
issues.
Right?
And, I mean, I was lucky I never had an eating disorder, but I lost all of my confidence and all of my drive, and it's an art, so it's tricky, though, because it's also it's a sport, so I got really confused about why I was doing what I was doing. And you have these crazy teachers who are just like, they're just raised from...
Nazi.
They're Nazi teachers, and they've been doing ballet all their lives, and they have no sense of reality or what it's like to teach or relate to a 16-year-old girl. So you start crying as you're dancing, and you're like, I don't like what I'm doing right now. So I quit, and I started writing music, and then writing music kind of helped me start dancing again.
This is going to be an episode of Soul Brothers.
It totally is.
They have to dress as women to make it in a prestigious dance school.
They're going to run into Vanessa. You're going to meet her there.
Carrot Top and
help her escape.
The redhead and
yeah, and I'm trying to think who's going to play the black guy. I would say who's the black guy from Rush Hour?
I like Mekhi Phifer.
No, he could do it.
Oh yeah,
Chris Tucker.
Oh
he's like five black guys.
But he has
in
to talk
body.
Just like a white dude. I mean, he has to be really, and then the redhead.
Right.
He'll be all like.
Yeah, he'll be all ghetto.
He'll be all ghetto.
But
be
once
great.
In a while, when Chris Tucker's character gets flustered,
He'll break into it.
The mother effer comes flying out. Go to hell! Oh, wait, we get David Allen. David Alan Greer's a little old. I hate to say, but...
Yeah. How long have you been blind, deaf, and dumb? Yeah. I can't take it, Adam!
See, it's very dramatic.
Yeah, he's a powerful, powerful actor. Tom?
Hey, what's up, guys?
You're 18?
Hipset Vanessa.
Yeah, I'm 18.
Maybe listen to one of his cheers. You really want to hear something exciting.
Yeah, listen to one of David's cheers. Black's Headroom. Go ahead. That's my idea for his TV show.
See my finger, see my thumb. We got the ball, you better run. S-O-C-K-I-T, sock it to me. Baby, my head is aching, my hips are tight. I'm just shaking, bump that to right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, cast check. Don't take no job. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Come on, baby, we gonna win.
That's a cheer, baby. That's a cheer.
That is a cheer, isn't it?
That's him cheering his cheer at the end.
There. I want to
Here
see
we
David.
Come, a truckin' in. This is me here. I bet you wonder where we've been. It's called Here We Come, a Truckin' In.
Oh my God.
We're a team that can't be beat.
Is this what you guys do?
Because we're funky on our feet. Yeah, this is the show, basically.
Yeah.
No, but...
What?
Yeah.
Wow, that would take me a while to make up a cheer like that.
Oh, no, I know that one. That's an old one.
Oh,
I remember that from my
playing. Well, you were
days.
In the ballet. He was busy.
Oh,
I was in high school. A bunch of jack-off friends.
That's good.
Yeah. Tom?
Nice contribution.
Yeah, I went to the prestigious North Hollywood School for A-holes. Tom?
Yeah, what's up?
You're 18. It was very, very stringent entrance requirements. You had to live in the North Hollywood Van Nuys area.
You had to breathe.
You had to have no money. And then you got in. It was great.
Tom?
Tom?
Yeah, what's up?
What's up?
Hi.
You guys ready?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Last weekend, I went over to my girlfriend's house. And we started to make out on the bed, and she denied me the entrance. Mm-hmm. And I said, what's up? And she goes, it's my time of month. And I'm like, so? And my question is really for Dr. Drew. Is there any physical repercussions for her?
To have sex during ovulation?
Yeah.
Not during menstruation, but during ovulation.
Okay.
Which?
No, she means menstruation.
You mean when she's bleeding.
Yeah.
Right.
That time of the month.
Probably not, though. If you had a sexually transmitted disease, she would be at higher risk of complication from sexually transmitted disease.
No, I'm using a condom, so...
Yeah, it's really nothing.
She would. She'd be at higher risk.
Yeah, this sort of considers her more of an open pass up to the higher regions of the genital tract.
Just a wee bit?
Not
much.
Just a wee bit, not much.
So basically, she was just shining me on it.
Well, some women just don't... women have a funny thing if they don't feel sexy.
Yeah,
Vanessa's shaking her head.
Well, I think it depends on the girl.
Some women are more into it that
I think they're more concerned about you, and they don't want to deal with that. I mean, because if you're obviously menstruating...
Tom is fine. Tom just wants to have sex. Right?
Yeah, but I bet you anything, your chick just doesn't want... She doesn't want to deal with... blood.
Yeah, but women have this whole thing like, well,
they're very self-concerned.
I don't feel sexy. It's for me. You know,
yeah.
So guys like, what? They like Charlie Brown's teacher again. Wah, 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 wah. What?
Well, because then after, it's like, you're constantly thinking in your head, like, this isn't really going to go so well. It's kind of going to be messy.
You're thinking,
he doesn't really
here.
Know what he's getting into, maybe.
Yeah.
And Tom...
Listen,
you might not know what you're getting into.
On the Berman and Berman show, I'm doing a piece on what guys... They wanted to know, what are the top 10 things that guys want in bed? And I said, just erase that question and just, just be there and hold still. Right?
Get two chicks in the same bed.
Yeah.
Do them.
I mean, isn't that right?
Berman and Berman, two guys named Berman or one guy
two
with
women.
The two names?
Two women.
Berman.
Two
women named
sisters.
Berman?
Oh,
sisters. Oh, I'm hip.
Psychologist and a urologist.
Oh, I know the show. I know well. I'm a big fan. What's that on? Deep Cable?
Discovery.
Deep Cable?
No, it's not on Discovery.
Yeah, it's on Discovery.
Discovery?
It's the ultimate.
I thought all you guys did was like seek out the Lusitania and stuff. There's live people on that channel.
Discovery Channel is the best channel on TV.
I love Discovery Channel, they got to be looking for a ship or retracing a D-Day or Normandy or something. I don't like any of that current stuff.
Anyway,
but I do like Berman and Berman. Those ladies.
Those
sisters?
Yeah.
Great.
Well, but what guys want, this is again to guy women thinking like, man, what are the top 10 things? No, guys don't that's
not
a
We just want something.
we want, and then that's it.
Right. Well, look at it this way.
It's not even 10 things.
Guys use, like, inflatable dolls and stuff.
Yes. It's,
but women are intellectualized.
I understand, but they shouldn't. They're thinking like women, not trying to think like men to understand what men want. Say that again, Adam. Wait, listen.
What did I say?
That what men do.
That's Berman and Berman. Is it great? Is that the one?
No, but what men do to...
Inflatable dolls?
Yes.
What about, well...
I mean, look, if you said to a guy, you could have an animatronic woman who was very advanced, who was, it was like the Terminator, but she was a woman. You know, what Schwarzenegger was to the Terminator.
Right.
I mean, seemed like it was a live human being, everything, all the parts were there and everything. Guy would take that.
That's all you need.
Over a girlfriend. You know, a woman would never date a completely realistic robot over a guy. Guy would take that over a woman. Do you realize that?
I think in a lot of cases, that's probably true.
Especially if you said, like, you know, she'll never age, she'll never start complaining, no stretch marks, no dimples in the ass, no period, no complaining. I could talk any guy into that.
No questions about what are the top 10 things you want in bed.
Right.
Dude, yeah. Well, you might as well just buy a fake vagina, though.
Yeah.
That's what men do that.
Yeah, we do.
It's like little flashlight thingers.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing about the fake vagina. First off, they're huge. I don't know who uses these things. I mean, I guess if you and your buddy are using it, but I was wearing this thing like a dinner bell.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like a triangle?
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah.
Yeah.
Your penis was used.
It's nothing. I went through three rolls of duct tape trying to thicken up the sides. You should get a little friction going on, just a little.
I'm sure
there's sizes that you can buy.
And then...
And it might have to do with your penis size.
Yeah, mine had a...
Oh, Adam,
mine had
Adam.
A, no, no. No, Vanessa, you're right. Mine had had an S on it, which probably means super big.
Yeah, extra big.
Yeah, super big.
Adam, you should downsize.
And then I should have broke down and bought the box spring mattress mount.
Yes,
you know, that
I
was just hanging on to it. I should have bought the mount. It goes between the mattress and the box
Adam's
spring.
Chicken pie, do you have a small penis? The nerves.
I don't think that's what she was saying. She wasn't saying that. She doesn't like she doesn't like my oral posture. Now she's attacking my penis. How dare you?
I'm just saying you should have gotten a smaller size.
You
would have had more friction.
I didn't know the S stood for super
big. But the point is, guys are very simple. Like primitive, like Neanderthal-like.
Mm-hmm.
And
to apply any thought is almost like, whoa, wait, no, stop. You're making it too complicated.
Yeah, the girls like to get pretty flowery with their thoughts. They like to overthink things.
And we got to go to break, but everybody transfers their feelings of their gender onto the other one, which is if a woman is not feeling too fresh about herself, she's thinking, oh, well, he's going to be grossed out if he goes on.
That's exactly what
No.
And that's what they think.
Well, let it go.
Make her feel good.
True. You can't let stuff go that's sort of burned into your gender.
Into your biology,
It's definitely
right. It's biology, right?
Yeah, I just mean the way you feel, if something would hurt your feelings or something would taste good or, when somebody doesn't like something you like.
You know?
Yeah, I know.
Girls like to smell fresh.
If there's a food that you love and someone goes, just not a big fan. You're like you can't, you don't love that?
Right.
You don't love that? It almost like bothers you. It doesn't compute. Mm-hmm. You understand they don't want it, but it doesn't work.
Exactly.
All right. Vanessa Carlton is our guest tonight. Be Not Nobody's name of the CD. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll be right back. Vanessa Carlton is our guest tonight. Be Not Nobody, name of the CD. Is it gone something? Platinum? Gold?
Yeah. It went platinum. It's really cool.
Wow, that's... What are you, 22. A million? 500,000? 500,000 is gold?
Yeah.
Platinum's a million?
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah, it did well. Still doing good. I'm very proud of it.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the next one.
Why?
I always like to write songs, so...
Do you write as you go?
Yeah, I write as I go, and I'm, like, dying to record the new batch, but...
If you have a like an idea for a song that you think is really strong and it just comes to you when you're on an airplane or something, and you write music, you read music.
Yes, I do.
So would you write it down? I mean, the music in the form of notes?
I usually don't think of melodies without being in front of a piano.
Right.
I have, however, had dreams where I've made up songs in my dream. Like, it's like, in my dream, it's the ultimate song ever in the history of the world. It's like, the
sure.
most so amazing.
You try to recreate it.
Yeah, and I wake up in the middle of the night, kind of hum it to myself and be like, okay, I'll remember this in the morning. Then I do remember in the morning, and it's really the most horrific sounding thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
So I don't do well unless I'm in front of an instrument.
Are you asking, can people write music from their head?
No, I guess what I'm
they
saying.
Can.
Yeah.
I guess
Mozart.
what I was thinking of is, if you have a really good idea for a song or melody and you're away from an instrument, there's this feeling that it might escape, like you've got to hurry and sit down and find something.
Yeah, but I've let it escape every time. I have yet to take advantage of those moments and, like, sit down and write it.
What
I've
if,
had
what
those
if you
moments.
Kept a little, like, mini recorder and just hum
it? Would be a really
it.
Smart thing for me to do, but right. I will never do it.
For Christmas?
Are you going to get me that?
That's what I'm going to get you.
Thanks, man.
And not one of those crappy ones with the tape in it. I'm going to get you one with the
tape
in it.
So excellent. So then my next record will do well, too, so then get all my ideas in there.
Yeah.
The famous story about Mozart going into the Vatican.
And he just writes without
hearing a lengthy choral piece that was it's only performed inside the Vatican. The music was never released. He went home and wrote it down. Every note correct was arrested for having stolen the music.
Wow.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Yeah. Reminds me of me, Daniela. You're 17?
Yeah, it's me.
What's up?
What's up?
Yeah.
How are you?
Just replace that piano with the carpet cleaning wand, and it's the exact same story.
It's always a wand.
Go ahead, Daniela.
Yeah, I messed around with girls, and after, like, I have an orgasm, I get, like, this really, like, bad feeling, like, I feel kind of like, I regret it in a
You're
way,
a lesbian.
But then...
What'd she say? She was surrounded with girls?
She fools around with girls.
Fools around with girls.
And then she has an orgasm.
Right.
Yeah. And then afterwards...
Adam has that reaction when he fools around with himself, and yet he does it every day.
Yep.
The guilt.
You know what I mean? Like,
disgust, really, is what it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I kind of like...
I have contempt for myself.
Well, do you not feel like acceptable
and
to... fool around with girls?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay. So, but
is it that, or did something happen to you that now you're sort of reenacting in some way and it's reminding you of disgusting feelings you had in response to this?
Yeah, I feel like disgusted.
Mm-mm. No?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anything happened to you growing up?
Not that I know of.
No, nobody got hold of you and did anything bad?
No, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
You sure?
Well, your parents,
I'm not sure,
your parents religious?
No, not at all.
Did you grow up in an environment where they told you this was a bad thing?
Yeah. My parents were really against, homosexuals and...
Right.
Mm-hmm. Really? They've been explicit about that with you?
Yeah.
All right.
Interesting. How did they convey that to you when you were young?
They just said that it would be bad if, like, we would say... You know, one day we would go up to our parents and say, oh, Mom, I'm a lesbian, or I messed around with a girl, you know?
You ought to be ashamed of yourselves.
They would
exactly.
say that would be hurtful to us, or that would be painful?
It would be, like, a shame, like, you know, shame on you. How
All right,
you
so, and
that?
They're not religious, though,
no.
huh?
No.
So you're feeling like you're letting your parents down or something?
Yeah,
or
like, well, I don't know, like... Okay, like, I'll mess around with just one friend. And then afterwards, I get this, like, really, like, disgusted feeling, like, oh, my God, I shouldn't have done this. I feel really bad. And
you can get over it.
I'm not sure what
you're
it
like
is.
Chicks.
Like, does that make me, like, a lesbian or
not
bi?
It makes you bi-curious. Certainly, it makes you
part
bi.
Part lesbian.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that's all right. Those are the feelings you're having. Don't freak yourself out.
You're young.
That's okay.
Certainly don't freak yourself out with labels. Somehow the label has meaning to you. Look, you're intimate with women. That's fine. It doesn't sound like it's particularly comfortable for you, and you're sort of confused about whether you want to continue doing it. You'll see. Time will tell.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in the meantime, you don't have to tell your parents, and you don't have to give yourself a label or declare majors, we like to say.
That's right.
All right. Vanessa Carlton is just with us for the first hour. so I hear. So we will bid her adieu. But it was quite lovely meeting you.
It was very nice to meet you guys.
Yeah, we had a good time.
I'm a big fan.
Well, we're big
show.
Fans too.
Thank
I mean, you.
You
know, no, we're talking about the show. But we dig your scene as well.
And thanks, man.
Come back anytime.
I will.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you're coming through town.
It's done. It's a deal.
Also, you can find Vanessa on Friday on the Tonight Show with Jay Leno. So that's exciting.
Yeah.
Because that's one of those things where to your screwy families. You know,
yeah, they'd
friends
love that.
And family, it's like now you've arrived.
Oh, yeah, it's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Right. You can tell
she's
them.
She's on the Tonight Show.
You can talk about TRL till you're blue in the face, but when you tell them Tonight
but
Show.
Jay's so nice.
But they still think Carson's hosting. I mean,
Johnny Carson.
Johnny Carson. Yeah, so this Friday, and say hi to Stephen Jenkins for us from Third Eye Blind and tell him to come by, too.
Okay, I will.
All right, so we'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back. It's the Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191.
What's
this? Yeah.
What's that?
Somebody sent me some junk in the mail. It sounded like a barbecue bib.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, like a smock for barbecuing.
Good times.
Mm-hmm.
Vanessa Carlton.
Lovely lady.
Mm-hmm.
Intelligent, attractive.
Young.
But chicks who start playing the piano early are smarter than other women.
Hmm.
There was a little heavy, too. Kind of cool. They're thoughtful. Thought-provoking. They're wise beyond their years. You know what I'm saying?
Like
Fiona Apple.
Fiona, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, good times. I'm glad to meet her. Jason?
Yeah, how you doing?
You're 25?
Yes.
What's up?
I just wanted to talk about how you guys were saying guys only like one thing in bed, or they just want what they want. But for me, it's like if the girl's not having fun or getting off or whatever, then it's not even fun for me. I'd rather be, you know, if she's not like moaning or something like that, I'd just assume just masturbate. You know what I'm saying?
No, I think guys, it is important for men to have women respond. Mm-hmm. You need to know that she's excited. You need to show she's showing interest.
Yeah.
And I think our egos need
that's
their,
for you too,
a climax. Yeah, that's for you too, Jason.
Okay.
You need her to respond.
Basically, that's what I'm saying, yeah. That's basically just what I meant, yeah.
That's
if
one of the
not
things.
Getting off or whatever, I'm not going to get
I understand,
off.
But in that little range of things you need, there's one of the ones you need. You need her to respond and get off, and that's part of what you need to have your sexual experience be complete.
Yeah, you're right.
All right there, buddy.
Good time.
Good
time. Yeah.
Well, it's not to say, I mean, it's win-win for guys. It's like running a good business. You want the customer to be happy. You want repeat business.
You're satisfied yourself then, yeah.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, there's an element to any almost philanthropic endeavor. Anytime you give someone a gift, anytime you try to pleasure somebody, anytime you try to do something for someone other than yourself, there's a part of that that's for you too, but mm-hmm. that's fine. I mean, I'll never criticize the person who goes down and volunteers at the shelter because it makes them feel better about themselves. That's fine. You want to donate a library? You want to go down to the homeless shelter?
Right.
It makes you sleep better at night? Fine. I'm not gonna criticize you for that. And the same sexually. You hear that, ladies? Kathy?
Hello?
You're 20?
Yes.
What's up?
Hi, what's up, guys?
Mm-hmm.
I have a question for Dr. Drew.
Mm-hmm.
I just broke up with my boyfriend, and he told me, like, right after we broke up that he had pubic lice, and he thinks that I gave it to him.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that I don't have any hair down there, and I'm not itching, and that's, like, never been a problem.
You can see the lice, too, if you got them down there.
Yeah.
Do you have lice in your hair?
What?
Do you have lice in the hair on your head? Has that been checked?
No, I mean, I did when I was in fourth grade, but as I mm-hmm. haven't had it since.
True. Any difference between pubic lice or crabs and head lice?
Yes, they're different species.
And crabs are pubic lice.
Yes.
But the one that lives in the pube region and one lives on your head, completely different.
Different.
You could get one or the other in either place, though, yes?
Yeah.
But difficult?
Difficult.
You'd have to be very flexible to do that?
I'm just wondering if the fact that she had no hair anywhere somehow allowed somebody to live up in her scalp for a while or something. It doesn't usually happen like that.
I wouldn't tend to believe this guy.
And here's
the other thing, too. If, this guy has a roommate...
Well, the thing is...
Could be passed.
He lives with this guy, Spike,
say no more. Anybody
live with... No. It's like a nickname for his hair, but...
But anyone living to anyone, with anyone named Spike is probably going to get crazy.
No. But he lives on this... He sleeps on this bed that doesn't have any sheets on it, and it's, like, all dirty and stuff, and...
Yeah.
His hygiene's not that great either, you know?
That's how you get... All right.
Yeah, if you got a roommate who's got crabs and you're sharing the guy's towel and stuff, you can get it yourself.
Can you? Okay, that's what I was
thinking. And he may be trying to put you on the defensive, too, somehow. And trying
to sort of, we just broke up.
Yeah.
So. All right. Accept no responsibility for it, even if it's true.
Thank you so much.
All right, baby.
Love you guys.
Free and clear. You should love us. We just convinced you didn't give your boyfriend crabs. When you probably did.
No, probably didn't.
Yeah, I've never had crabs. But I have heard through all my friends that this is the one that's, I don't know, they don't count it as a sexually transmitted disease, do they?
Yeah. Maybe your jack-off friends don't.
This is the one that can be passed the most, with the least sexual contact.
That's true.
I mean, all you got to do is live with someone.
Sit on the same couch, basically.
Borrow a pair of their undershorts or share a towel or bathrobe or something.
Came on.
Yeah. I had a guy living with me that had crabs and slept in the same bed as me.
What?
Yeah. Didn't get crabs. Single bed, too.
Until you had anal sex with him?
Did I say that part?
Yeah.
Oh, man, what am I thinking? No, we lived in a garage and we only had one bed.
It's like Abraham Lincoln or something.
Yeah. I shared beds with my buddies a lot. Me and the Wheeze slept on the same futon for a year and a half in an apartment on the floor. We had one bedroom and one futon. Yeah, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Yeah, good times. That's why I made the no bucks. Loopy?
Yeah, hi.
You're 20?
Yeah, I have this problem. All my friends have kids. And my boyfriend that I'm currently seeing right now, he's not a virgin at all, and I still am. And I come from, like, very religious parents.
Hold on. All your friends have kids?
All 7 of my girlfriends have kids.
They all have kids, and your boyfriend is not a virgin, and you are a virgin.
Yeah, and my parents are very religious.
And your question?
And my question is I want to sleep with him and everything because I love him to death and stuff, and I feel as though I'm ready. But I'm trying to get over the whole, like, nervous factor of that I'm going to get pregnant or something.
So get on the birth control pill.
Okay.
Right? And then you won't get pregnant.
That's it?
That's it.
You sure?
Yes. If you do get pregnant, Drew will raise a child as his own.
No, well,
That's his commitment to you.
If you want to add an extra layer of safety, have him wear a condom. And be on the pill, and there's no way you're going to get pregnant.
Okay. My mom got pregnant when she was young, and so did my grandma.
Mm-hmm. Right, they weren't on the pill.
No, my mom was. And she had a condom and all this stuff, and, like, she always is, like, telling me, you shouldn't have.
No.
She's telling you this.
Here's the nonsense. Yeah, she was drunk, she was hoeing around, she was irresponsible. She's scaring you. See?
You're doing a darn good job.
Yeah, well, it worked.
No way you can get pregnant on the pill with condoms. I mean, that's an immaculate. That's Jesus Christ right there.
You may be Jesus' sister, Becky. What was his name? What's her name?
Julie.
Julie? Jesus didn't have a sister, did he?
Mm-hmm.
Becky would have been a good name, though.
Really?
Jesus.
Rebecca. Yeah, Rebecca was one of those names.
Yeah. They call her Becky.
Yeah.
Don't call anyone by their short name back then. All right, Loopy.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Hey. Yeah. I was just thinking, already at age 20, not having a children, she's the oldest person named Loopy without a kid.
Old maid.
Yes, absolutely.
There's no cookies in my box.
You know, I know Mom was BSing Loopy. Mom may have been stretching the truth. Maybe Mom took the pill for a while and then got off the pill or didn't take it correctly or
maybe,
something like that.
Right.
Maybe had used a condom a time or two, but definitely was not regularly taking the pill and using a condom the time she conceived.
That's correct. But God bless mom for... She's fighting the tide there.
It worked. She's 20. Right. She's still a virgin.
Out of 8 women, this is the one who's not pregnant.
Yeah, all her friends. Jose?
Yeah.
You're 28?
Yeah, I'm 28.
What's up?
I had a question for Dr. DeGruy. About a week or so, I'm bisexual, and about a week or so ago, I had a lot to drink that night, and inhibitions were way down, and I had never done this before. I had unprotected anal sex with another guy, and I really messed up, and I'm just really worried now. Basically, I just wanted to know how hard or easy is it to get HIV. Say, worst came to worst, say he was positive. Mm-hmm. Not even know this guy was in a partner. It was more like a hookup. Mm-hmm. How hard or easy would it be to get HIV through him if, in fact, he did? If in fact he did have it.
And you were the receptive partner?
I was giving.
Giving.
Yeah. Oh, you're giving.
Well, that's not as difficult, not as likely as if you were receiving.
And that makes me feel
that's
better.
The good news. Bad news is anal sex is a very effective way to transmit that virus.
Yeah. And no condom, right?
No, not at all.
And you just met this guy at a bar?
Actually, it was something a little bit more, what's the word I'm trying to...
Deviant?
Nefarious?
Yeah, something just a little more looser situation than that.
What was it?
Well, I feel a little uncomfortable saying it, but...
What's that?
Prostitute?
What? No, it wasn't that. Sort of like at a club.
At a club?
Yeah, one of those clubs you go and sort of have fun.
It was like a gay man swinging club?
Something like that.
Bathhouse?
Right.
Like a bathhouse?
Uh-huh.
They got those now, those bathhouses? I mean, they don't have baths in them anymore, but... Well, listen, any time you get a bunch of gay guys together and start pumping the music and working the strobe lights, this guy's going to be getting it on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there to hook up. True. Stop punching the mic. Okay.
You
don't know anything about this guy's history?
No, I don't. But, I myself got tested about 2 months ago, and I came out, everything came out completely negative. Mm-hmm. And then this is the first time I've done this, and I know, I guess the incubation period is, from what I hear, is 3 to 6 months.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll be fine, buddy. But you got to get tested again.
Have you had your hepatitis B vaccine?
No, I don't think I've had that.
All right, you got to get that.
What's that about?
That's about preventing hepatitis B.
Oh,
it's a 3-shot series over 6 months, and there's no reason you should be unprotected from that one, because that you can easily get through anal sex.
And I can take that right now?
The vaccine, yeah.
And I can go to, like, any public health center and
yes,
do that?
Yes, yes, yes.
How come they don't make the gay population more aware of that?
They're trying.
They do a PSA, like with the Indian from the Village People. Hey, how are you? Hey, how are you?
A little tear coming down from his eye.
Yeah.
I could have prevented.
When I think about hepatitis B, yeah, the little
I think about unprotected anal sex.
That's right.
I had a follow-up question.
Yeah. Wait a minute. I got follow-up questions. Now, so you meet the guy at the club.
Uh-huh.
And you could go home with a guy every single night you went to one of those clubs, right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, because it's a bunch of dudes, right?
Well, yeah.
Who's stopping anybody from doing anything?
Right.
Okay, and you take the guy back, and you're going to have sex. Now, first off, is there any pretension? I mean, when a guy takes a girl home, he has to pretend like this may blossom into something.
He has to pretend he's not interested in sex, too.
Well, I mean, they're drinking. They kind of know the lay of the land. But there's that sort of thing where I'm going to call you tomorrow, or I'm interested in you. I'm interested in you sexually, but, there could be some dates after this. Is there any promises made, do you both just sort of know the lay of the land?
We pretty much know that we're there for one thing and one thing only. Of course, there's always the possibility that, I might run into somebody, and this has happened before, where we felt some chemistry there, and maybe we see some potential more. Now, even though 90% of the time it's just for one thing.
Right. Now, hair on the ass, turn off for the gay man?
I guess it all depends on the individual, doesn't it?
Yeah, those bear magazines.
Yeah, but that's a small percentage of the gay population.
Actually, I'm bi.
No, Jose, you're not. Come on.
Huh?
Come on.
You're bi.
No, I'm definitely bi.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No. Nobody could drop that log in a strange tokai.
Oh,
and be bi.
Right. He's bisexual.
That's gay. That's all right.
But anyway,
But let me ask you this protocol.
Uh-huh.
You get the guy home. It's clear what's going to happen. Now, as a guy, when you're with a woman, you just start sort of moving in a direction until somebody stops somebody.
Right.
It seems like if you're going to give it to a guy in the can, you have to give him a little heads up, or do you say anything, or, you know, who decides? You flip a coin?
Well, like, then that's not the usual behavior either. You know, as you know, it's usually
you make eye contact, and you go from there.
A lot of oral sex. But you don't know if the guy you're taking home is an anal guy or a blowjob guy or a top or a bottom.
Yeah, that's when communication comes in.
That's what the bandanas are for, right?
It's not like we don't talk.
In the club, you talk.
Of course.
That's the beauty of guys, too. Like, see, when a guy brings home a woman, he can't talk to her in the club about, are you, like, blowing dudes, or are you like, a 69? Like, what are you into? Because I'll give it to you pretty good when we get home. You know, he's got to go, I just got a new place around the corner, man. I spent $4,000 at IKEA. I'd love to show it to you. What do you do? You do interior design? I sort of just swing you by here, just to have you take a look at this place.
Even that's too obvious.
Yeah, you got to talk about anything but sex. So you could bring something home, and then you could find out, I just broke up with my boyfriend, and I'm not really ready for this right now. Or, I have some cramps. Or I have something. I got something. I can't do this.
My
vagina's been sewn shut. You know what I mean? But the gays, it's all worked out on the dance floor.
It's in like about 44 seconds too.
Dude, are you bottom or top? I'm a top. Oh, okay. Oh, no, that's no good. I'm a top, too. Tell your friends that this is how it works.
Well, say, how long does it take guys to sort of work out the details to decide what they're going to do?
Pardon me?
How long does it take gay males to sort of work out the details?
In a situation like I was in?
Yeah, and figure out what...
At a location where I was at?
Yeah.
Well, just a matter of, like, 1 or 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Right. And then so it's back, and now once you get back to the hotel, not the hotel, to the home, what is the deal? Now, is there any showering involved or anything? Because I would imagine there is. Because you're wearing chaps, you're dancing your ass off to Ethel Merman or whatever's going on in there.
You both shower?
What's that?
Shower together?
Well, you mean where? At the place?
No, at home.
Well, I didn't take anybody back home with me.
You got him at the place?
Right. It was at the club.
See, this is another thing. This is how, you know, guys like, why should we chance driving home?
It takes a while.
Just nail them right here. We'll just take the grab bar over the head, and we'll just move it up about 3 feet, and you can grab onto that. Jesus Christ, guys. Do you see what happened when guys are in charge sexually?
Yes. No surprise.
Yeah, it's like, well, listen, we did the math. By the time you get in your car, first of all, you risk getting a DUI. Secondly, it's going to take you 25 minutes by the time you drop your load in your hotel or apartment, then you come back, and you want to get late again, you know, later on in the night. Let's just do it here.
Why go through all that?
Yeah.
So take your Happy Meal home and eat it?
Eat it in the car. All right, so you nail a guy at the club.
Right. Well, that's what the club is there for.
Yeah,
man, I'm killing this cameraman over here.
Just one of your callers before.
He's losing his ass.
Club. There's different rooms.
Now, do you pay to go into a room?
Well, you have to pay to go inside the club.
Right.
Yeah.
But is it absorbent? Is it $40 or $50?
No, it's less than that. It's like $20.
$20.
Yeah.
And what happens when all the rooms are occupied?
Well, there's just like, it's almost like a regular club. You walk around, there's lounge areas.
Do they have doors that lock?
Of course. In the rooms, there's doors that lock, yeah.
The only reason I'm asking that is that seems like sort of a no-no when it comes to the city and the inspectors and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, here's a room with a... you got to get a liquor license. You're operating in the city. They do have inspectors and stuff that go through there and permits and everything.
Yeah.
If you walked in and saw a bunch of rooms that had locking doors in the back, that would not fly well for the city or the vice department or whoever's doing that.
Well, I assume that the place that I went to has been there for a lot of years, and I'm sure they've passed all their zoning regulations or whatever it is that they have to go through.
All been grandfathered in. They probably got some pictures of some city officials felching back there or something from like 1942, and they just keep that hidden away in the safe. All right, behind the picture of Liza Minnelli in the guy's upstairs office. I know how it works. Believe you me, one day I'm gonna enter the inner circle, the gay sanctum, and really figure it out. Do like a Geraldo Rivera type report.
Yeah.
But going back to my original concern, I did have one follow-up question for Dr. Yeah,
yes, sir, yes.
If worse came to worse and say this guy was HIV positive,
right.
There's still, that doesn't necessarily guarantee that I'm going to get it, right?
No, it doesn't. But you do bring up an interesting question. You know, you might want to consult with an infectious disease consultant and talk about taking antiviral therapy. I don't know if anyone would do this, but when there's been a high-risk exposure, there's ways to reduce the risk of transmission.
Okay.
By taking antiviral medications and things like that for a period of time.
I'm up front with them, and I tell them right up front what I did.
How long ago?
Listen, this is what HIV doctors deal with.
Well,
this
what's
all the
time. Window for this?
Well, this just happened to me about a week ago, so.
I'm asking Drew, is it the sooner the better?
Sooner the better, like immediately, yeah.
But after 2 months, worth it? Or?
I think after 2 weeks, if I remember right, is sort of when they start thinking around.
All right.
If I start taking this antiviral medication for nothing and 6 months from now I come up to be HIV positive, what are the side effects of this medicine?
You're going to get on them and stay on them at that point if you're HIV positive.
No, I mean, if I was not and all this time I was taking this medication.
No problem.
I'm going to be like all goofy and stuff?
No.
No. Makes you dance better. Hey, Jose. So you lock the door, you have sex, and there's no... Do you spruce up a little before? I mean, I gotta imagine this guy's ass must smell like the ashtray of a van that's driven cross country with like a bunch of roadies in it or something.
I'm not gonna hook up with anybody.
Oh yeah, Walter Raleigh here.
It's not gonna be bad. He's dancing in the jeans and the leather pants all night, and then he just drops them back there.
What's that?
I mean, doesn't he have to clean himself up a little bit before
well,
you?
Yeah, you assume, I'm going to, visibly pick out somebody who looks hygienically decent.
Right. And then,
the guys I'm talking about are guys that you might see that, that look just like your next door neighbor. Like, I look at your regular club.
Right. And then,
there's a lot of masculine guys that go in there.
No, I know. And then, forgive me for sounding indiscreet here, but... when you're finished, when you get to the point of ecstasy, what's protocol when you're in the position you're in?
It all depends on the individual, but a hug or something like that.
No, but I mean, where do you finish off onto the carpet or into him or onto him or?
Oh, for me personally, it wasn't into him; it was outside.
Why do you want to know this stuff?
Outside?
Yeah.
Oh, outside of him.
You
didn't clutch your junk and run out to the back of the club. Just onto the floor.
How do you finish him?
Pardon me?
How does he finish?
Who cares?
How does he finish?
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't. No, in this case, I guess I came and he didn't. I guess he didn't want to come yet, and I did.
All right. He's got a big night ahead of him.
You got to be with other guys.
Something like that, right? Yeah.
All right. Jose.
Yeah.
You may want to entertain the notion that you may be gay. That's all I'm saying. Just entertain that thought.
Let's all entertain it for a second, shall we?
So what do you think?
The way you were shuffling around.
What number do you think Jose was on this guy's ass list?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Get a figure. It's going to be a long
year. It was early in the evening. It's probably number 3.
And let's find out what time. Jose?
Yeah.
Early in the evening or late in the evening?
This was like around 1-2 in the morning.
Ooh, boy. Okay.
Yeah, he got there at 6:30. Yeah.
What's that?
Streetlights hadn't come on yet when he rolled in.
Mm.
He opened the place.
Yeah.
I beg your pardon.
All right, Jose, you go get yourself checked out. You'll probably be fine.
All right.
Take it easy, though.
But see an infectious disease consultant. That's what you want to see.
All right. Well, see, now we all know
how that works. Yeah,
that's how
curious.
It works. Right. That's what happens. You get guys together. Through that club may be in your area. It's calling from Pasadena.
I noticed that.
Check that out this weekend, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You'd be quite a catch. We'll be back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there. Let's blast through some phone calls here. Drew, what do you say?
Let's go.
Chris.
Yeah.
17.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right.
There we go, Chris.
Okay, a friend of mine, he's been, like, really depressed lately. He's talking about suicide, and he's a big stoner, and he wants to know, like, when he dies, we'll get him cremated and smoke him in a bowl of butt. And I was wondering if there's any, like, dangers to that.
Now, seems perfectly safe.
I mean, how can you smoke things that are already burned?
We were just going to put it in there.
They're going to smoke him after it's cremated.
Right, it was already ash. How do you burn an ash?
We were just going to put him in a bowl in a bowl with some weed and just smoke the weed, but kind of bring it in, too.
What if the guy, what if you had a friend who was a steak lover, and you love steak, too? Could you eat his dookie and still enjoy the steak?
No.
No. Yeah, why?
I don't know.
Yeah. So it's already been processed, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I suppose you could sprinkle guy's ashes over your weed, though.
It wouldn't burn. It wouldn't burn. Right? It's already burned.
You just burn. No, no, he's not smoking the ashes. He's sprinkling the ashes over his weed.
And then burning it.
Well, it's just lighting the weed up. You know, right, the ashes would just be there. Yeah, but it's like if you flick the cigarette ash over your bong.
Who cares?
Why don't you get your friend some treatment for his depression so he doesn't kill himself? How about that?
He's taking Zoloft.
You could go that route, but I don't know.
If he's still thinking about suicide, the Zoloft isn't working.
Yeah. And
someone needs to be notified.
So you've had the discussion with him about this?
Yeah, it was me and, like, six friends in the room at the time.
That's good. And how's life treating you, Chris?
I'm fine.
You doing good?
You're 17. Are you in school?
Not right now.
How come?
I'm expelled till December 3rd.
Why?
I threatened a teacher.
All right. So, everything's going good, huh?
Just about.
He's not in school. He's happy.
You got suspended for like 4 weeks or something?
I've been suspended. I mean, I've been expelled since the third week of school.
I see. And how does this work? They expel you, but you get to come back to the same school 2 months later?
Just about.
No, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, I swear. Because last year I got expelled.
It's a suspension.
Yeah, it's not expelled. It's suspended indefinitely for a very long period of time.
Almost.
All right, listen, Stoner. What is your plan in life? You gonna join the military?
Nah.
What are you gonna do when you get out of high school again?
I'm probably gonna be a car mechanic.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Why don't you just drop out now and go to trade school? Why bother going back? What are you gonna do? Get a bunch of D's? Threaten another teacher?
Actually, I get B's, man.
No.
Yeah.
No. You get B's in the dum-dum classes, but not in the real classes. Now, listen.
Not in the LD classes, man.
Listen, you gotta just go to one of those tech schools right now and start learning about being a mechanic. Do that.
Why not?
Why not?
Yeah.
My school's told me I can't drop out, and my dad told me if I drop out, he's going to kill me.
All right.
You got thrown out 2.5 months ago.
Maybe the school can find a way to give you a program.
Talk to him about doing some trade tech thing or something, okay? Okay. All right. Look, Chris is sort of half right, and I wish everyone listen to me. All you dumbos out there, and I count myself amongst you. I mean, I was no better student than any of you crappy students are. I got suspended. I didn't get any good grades. I didn't do anything.
What'd you get suspended for?
I got suspended because I told the guy who was the guard who was working the door that I was going home for lunch lunchtime.
Right, I remember this.
And he said, where's your pass? And I said, I lived by the school, so I had one of those passes so I could go home and eat lunch. And I didn't have my pass, and he said he needed the pass. And I said, I'm on that list. I had my sort of logic back then, too. I said, I'm on the list that has the pass. I just don't have the pass in my wallet. And he said, well, then you can't leave. And I said, nah, I'm just leaving. And he said, well, you leave, you get suspended. And I said, well, what are you going to do? So I left.
You had the same tape running back then.
Then I came walking back.
Hey, that's why I make the big bucks.
Came walking back at the same time, and he's like, you're suspended. And I said, all right, well, what are you going to do? So I got suspended.
Oh, no.
What are you going
to
do?
So I stayed home for 3 days. Big deal. All right, go to a trade school, all you guys. Just open the phone book, learn how to be a computer technician or a mechanic or do smog checks on cars. It's fine. You make some money.
Hello.
You're 19.
Hi.
Hey.
I love you guys. I've been listening to you since I was like 11.
Great.
Wow.
Yeah.
We haven't been in Virginia that long, have we? Were you somewhere else?
I'm from D.C.
Okay, all right.
But, yeah. Okay, I went out on Friday night, and I did drink, but I didn't drink that much, and I've drank a lot more before. I've never blacked out. I always remember everything that happens.
Mm-hmm.
But I blacked out that night, and mm-hmm. I was wondering if there's any way I could have, like... Sorry, I'm really nervous.
Don't worry about it.
I was really calm before because, Adam, you have that thing. You made me really calm.
Mm-hmm. him talking about receiving anal sex was
very
calming and soothing. And, mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if I could, like, go to the hospital or something, get a test to see if I got slipped, date rape drug.
When did this happen?
Friday night?
No, there's no way you can test this far out. Did you take anything else?
I did do some cocaine, but I've done a lot more before. And
I've done more stuff.
Been listening to the show, Drew.
Yeah, I know.
Did you think you got fiddled with while you were blacked out?
No, I know I didn't because my best friend was with me the whole time.
Right. Now, did you black out or did you pass out?
I blacked out because I was still...
So you were awake and going about your business. No one could tell you were in a blackout, but then you couldn't remember anything you did.
Exactly.
All right. You drank too much. You did some drugs.
GHB doesn't make you black out like that. GHB makes you pass out.
Oh, it does?
Yeah. And Rohypnol can make you amnestic like that, but you would be pretty sloshy. I mean, you'd really be intoxicated.
Okay.
So this is probably more alcohol. And what happens when you're an alcoholic, which, Veronica, I suspect you are,
mm-mm.
is that lower and lower doses tend to be more and more likely to cause blackouts.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, also, isn't this true, too, Drew, that there's some nights you just drink all night and you're lucid and you can remember everything the next day and, you know, right where you are and you're fine. And then there are nights when you don't seem to have that much to drink, but you feel, like, really out of it and sort of lightheaded and whatever, dreamy. Next day you wake up, you really don't remember that much. Mm-hmm. It just kind of nails you, hits you in different ways, maybe depending on your affect or what you got in your stomach or how much sleep you got.
How quickly you drank, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, she had one of those nights.
Yeah.
She's fine. But take it easy on the booze, baby.
By the way, cocaine with booze can cause a new novel compound called cocaethylene, which is much more toxic to your heart, interestingly, and causes rhythm problems, that sort of thing. So if you passed out on cocaine and alcohol, you worry about that issue.
Cindy. All right.
Let's listen. Wait a minute.
All right.
Cindy.
Hello?
Oh,
you're 22.
Go.
What's up?
Hello? Oh, hi. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Okay. There's so much. I don't even know what's going on here. I'm being kicked out of the room. I don't know if I should call the police with a certain situation. I don't have any evidence. But from what I've heard and what I've been told from other people, that there are pictures of me and videotapes. I trusted the wrong person. I don't know. I just feel I've been violated in multiple ways.
So you, dated a guy for a short period of time, had sex with him, and you think he may have hidden a camera or something?
No, we didn't date. It was kind of casual sex.
Okay.
You just met him and had sex with him?
No, actually, I worked with him.
Bob Crane Lives.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I...
You work with a guy, and you had a few sexual encounters with him?
I had a sexual encounter with him.
One sexual encounter.
And you think he videotaped it?
Yeah, without my consent.
How did you find this? How did you discover this?
People have told me, I didn't believe anybody. I mean, I didn't know who to...
You didn't believe that he had a history of this kind of thing, or you didn't believe that somebody actually saw the videotape?
I just... and naive to the fact.
You didn't believe that people were telling you he had a history of this sort of thing, or did somebody actually see the videotape?
People have seen this.
Okay.
People have seen
it. Just say that, please.
Yeah.
And we understand we don't know any of the details of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to figure those out.
And there's so much to it, I'm really...
Okay, so people you've worked with have seen the videotape?
Nobody will tell me, everyone's denying it. I was told at first, this was a few months ago, and now that I've come to realize, I'm wondering if maybe he gave me a drug or something to make me not realize what he was doing at the time.
Okay, let's backtrack.
Did
someone give you a drug tonight so we couldn't understand what you were saying?
Yeah. Did people see this videotape or not?
I have not been told that.
You told us Okay, you told us 15 seconds ago that people said they saw the videotape.
They haven't confronted that to me. People have told me that they had pictures. I didn't believe them.
Okay, listen. Cindy, we got to take a break. I need you to shake your head like a snow globe so that something gets back into place. Like when I was small, we had this black and white Zenith TV, and it would get fuzzy, and I'd pound on it, I'd whack it, and it would straighten out.
Mm-hmm.
You need to whack yourself once in the head with the palm of your hand, straighten your reception out. Then we're going to come back, and we're going to get to the bottom of this. But think about the story. And think about when we say things like, how do you know he has a videotape? And you say, people told me he has a videotape.
They saw it.
And then we say, people at work told they saw the videotape? And you say, nobody saw the videotape.
No.
Work it out. No, don't answer it. Don't answer, baby. Just work it out. Get a scratch pad. Write down the beats. We're going to come back. We'll get to the bottom of it. Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Oh, forget about that phone number. Oh.
What?
I got up at, went to bed at 2:30 and got up at 7:24.
Why? What'd you do?
Well, this is my hypervigilance. You know what drives me nuts? I'll tell you something I'm going to correct when I'm in charge. I don't like this.
Mailman.
I can't stand. I'll tell you what I don't like.
Uh-huh.
I don't like the window, the thing where people deliver stuff 2 hours, four hours.
Yes, right.
Of course, the cable companies, they want like a 14-hour window, but right. Now those retards are going out of business because of satellite. Good. I put a pox on all you idiots. Subpar service, 14-hour window. Screw you. You've been screwed right out of the market. That's a beauty. That's the beauty of the market. Eventually, yeah. You guys stop providing a decent service and you get screwed, yeah. You and your monopolies. But this is how businesses work. You pay in full, and then they give you the window. We'll deliver it in between noon and 4, and then if they don't show up or they show up late or whatever, it doesn't matter. You pay in full.
Right.
I want a thing where I pay half, you deliver it, you get it in that window, you'll get the second half. You don't get it in that window, and we're going to knock $150 off the thing. Yes, it's incentive. Well, So here's what happens. The window, they're never in the... Here's the deal with the window. 90% of the time when the guy says he's going to be there between 10 and noon, he shows up at noon. 90%.
If 90%. You're lucky.
Except for you're crapping with the door open because you're scared you're going to miss the guy. That's usually how it works.
Right.
But once in a while, they throw you that curveball. And this you cannot do. Guy says he's going to be there between 8 and 10 this morning. So I tell my buddy Gary, the carpenter, is coming over to do some work. I said, Gary, you be here by 7:30 and keep an eye out for these guys. You know they're not going to be here until 9:55.
He showed up at 7:25.
Keep an eye out. 7:24.
Oh.
7:24 and he's ringing on the buzzer.
Oh, my God.
You can't do that.
That's a foul.
Yes, it's a foul.
Yeah.
He's ringing on the buzzer.
Penalty.
And guess what? Gary's 40 minutes late, so he doesn't show up till after 8. Now, here's the beauty of Big A and his hypervigilance. It's go to bed at 2:30. It's 7:26 in the morning, 7:24 in the morning. I got the earplugs in. I got the eye shade on. I got the door shut. I'm upstairs in my house. I got the sounds of the ocean blaring in the background. And the ringer for the front gate is in the basement of the house. I'm three stories above it with the door closed, earplugs in, and thing. And I went to bed 4 hours and 45 minutes ago, and I'm lying there, and I'm faintly hearing this familiar-sounding buzz coming from three stories below me in the basement with the basement door closed and the bedroom door closed and earplugs in.
Oh,
yes, I pop up.
And the ocean playing.
Yes, I pop up, and I realize these SOBs are here. Then I yell out of my bathroom window at them as I do to people who come. Ooh, true.
Hey, that is
true with the F word, everybody.
Oh, boy.
I yell my insult out the window, which I'm known to do. But the problem with living in Los Angeles, most of the guys who do the delivery don't have a firm grasp on the English language and don't appreciate the insult. So I yell, "You guys are a little early, aren't you?" And the guy yells back up, you want this here earlier? And I'm like, like, you know when you have to explain the insults? Like, yeah. All right, I'm coming down. Now I'm standing there with a half a boner and in my underpants, staring out the window, and I'm thinking, Gary's really prompt. I bet he's going to pull up any second. Can I just stay up here and just let him stand down? Are they going to leave? Where's Gary?
No, you're not sleeping anymore.
Now I'm heading down. I'm waking up. Yeah. All right, good time. You can't show up early, can you? Say you're coming between 8 and 10, you show up at 7:20.
Why not? If they can show up late, why can't they show up early?
By the way, and when you pay in full, this is what you get.
That's right.
All right, Cindy.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have someone who you work with.
Used to.
Who you used to work with. Mm-hmm. Who you had a one-night stand with.
Okay.
Yes. You were not attracted to the guy, or did you have a crush on him?
Well, he gets pretty ugly after you get to know him.
Okay, and you then subsequently, after having the one-night stand with him...
It was a day thing. Like, we spent most of a day together, and during this day,
without my knowledge,
he recorded me.
Yes.
Like, voice recording, got pictures, had people watch, take pictures. I had no idea. It was all from a distance.
Still pictures.
Huh?
Still pictures.
Yes.
And where were the people who were taking the pictures?
I don't know. They were not in sight. I had no idea. I thought we were alone.
You were out in a park or something?
Beach.
You were at the beach.
And is that where you had the sexual encounter?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's still pictures of that out there somewhere.
You had the sexual encounter while the sun was up?
Yeah.
So it was light outside and you guys were fornicating on the beach?
It was, yeah.
Okay. That's,
There was no one around.
I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the photographers with the long-range lenses?
I would assume so.
Okay.
Is there anybody else that could want to...
Well, now, hold on. Now here's where it got sticky last time. How did you find out that this guy had the photographs in the recordings?
People have told me. I have met complete strangers in public places, and they're like, oh, I know you used to work at this place, and I got a picture of you, blah, blah, blah. I was like, well, what are you talking about?
All right, so hold on a second.
Wow.
And Cindy's had some sort of brain injury or something?
I don't know.
What's wrong with her?
Maybe she's psychotic, but let's keep hearing.
So you're just out at the mall, and you're calling from Washington State or Washington, D.C.?
Whichever one you want to think. I mean, this is a huge situation. I can't even go into it. There's so much to it.
I'm asking if you're calling from Washington State or Washington, D.C.?
State.
Okay. What's wrong with you? Is there something wrong with you?
I'm nervous.
No, but other than that, are you supposed to be on any medication?
I'm very trusting, and I'm too honest. Right, straight up, that's it.
So, well, that's not what I had in mind when I asked anything was wrong.
Well, that's what it all comes down to.
All right, no one's ever been under any psychiatric supervision. No one wants you to take medication.
No.
So you're just now you're just walking through the mall, and strangers are coming up to you.
No, I'm.
You're insane.
Yeah?
I don't go to the mall.
People you've never met before coming up to you and saying, aren't you the girl...
In the pictures.
In the pictures.
No, not... It's
you,
a small
you just,
world.
You just told
small,
us that.
I will tell you that it is a small world. No, there... I don't know what are on these recordings.
Who told you he had these pictures?
Multiple people.
And multiple people from
multiple
work?
Multiple people.
From work?
They won't. They don't want anything to do with it. They deny it, or they say, well, I don't know what you're talking about.
Where do you know the multiple people from?
What's that?
Next caller, please.
All right, where do you know the people from?
The multiple people.
Customers.
Customers who come into your work?
Yes, who were at my
work. Okay, and they've seen these pictures?
On my last day.
They've seen these pictures on the internet?
I hope not, no. I don't have any proof of it, but they were passed out on my last day of work, and
you never saw one of them.
It was all covered up. I mean, if he has voice recordings of me,
how do you know he has voice recordings?
Because I've been asked multiple times by people, well, is there a way that he would have voice recordings? Well, no. What are you talking about? How do you do that?
All right. And now you don't work with him anymore.
No.
Okay.
But I just need to know if I should call the police because
no,
there's a lot
I,
to
I,
it.
No, I know you can't call the police because you're going to tell them what you're telling us and they're going to think you're high. You don't have any evidence.
Exactly.
Not only no evidence.
You're
having trouble forming a story. You just sound paranoid.
Story. There's no story even.
No, the evidence is out there. Cindy? I need to find it. I know it's out there.
What's up, baby?
Do you speed at all? Do you stimulants at all?
What's that?
Do you do speed?
No.
Never done speed?
No.
You don't do drugs?
No.
All right. I didn't want to get into it.
I marijuana occasionally.
Okay, look. You have a new job?
No, not at the time. I don't.
Are you? But you quit that old job?
Yes, I did.
All right. Find a new job and forget about this.
Nope. I can't.
All right. Well.
No, because this guy.
All right. Thank God. Okay, I'm going to give one more piece of advice. Cindy.
Yeah.
Two things. Don't call this show anymore.
Hey, he's going to come down.
And number two, call a private investigator.
Doing that.
All right,
okay.
There you go. That's
good.
It.
Talk to them. That's going to be great for him. Yeah. Now, what was her deal? Do you know what that was?
No. Don't try.
But she meant it.
Yeah.
Does anyone have any idea what that was?
No.
Okay.
Confusing, that's what that was.
I'll take a break. We'll be back. Well, that's the show, everybody. The good news is, though, we'll be back tomorrow night. I want to thank Vanessa Carlton for coming in here and being a dear. Be Not Nobody, name of her CD. So.
Platinum.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And still going. So until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
My mom was a hoe.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. Producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.